To Asia now, where conflict in Hong Kong has been continuing this week. Here's our correspondent, Ed White.
Well, a few new things. Firstly, Carrie Lam, the city's chief executive, was due to give a big annual speech at Hong Kong's parliament on Wednesday. And that's something akin to the city's sort of State of the Union address. It was seen as a little bit of an outside chance for her to offer some concessions to the protesters or a way forward. But instead, she chose to focus on quite empty promises around housing and other economic sweeteners. And Miss Lam, who, as you know, has been under immense pressure throughout these ongoing protests, she ended up having to actually abandon her speech midway through after lawmakers, who are aligned with the pro-democracy groups, heckled and disrupted her. And they basically are taking up the protesters' demands, which include actually seeking her resignation. While she later finished the speech via video, this disruption and the suspension of the legislative session just came as another reminder to many people about just how broken the city's institutions currently are as this protest movement. Many people outside are now calling an outright rebellion against China just continues to escalate. And the other thing that's happened over the past week or so has just been these protesters' activities, which do ebb and flow a little bit. But as they have gone on, we're just seeing increasing examples where the isolated instances of clashes with the police are just becoming increasingly violent. On Sunday, there was a police officer that was apparently stabbed amid a wave of attacks on the city's subways and businesses that are seen as pro-Beijing. Earlier this week as well, footage emerged appearing to show that one of the protest leaders had actually been attacked reportedly with a hammer to the head. We haven't heard exactly how he's going, but all of these escalations of violence and disruptions just continue to stoke fears of a tougher crackdown from police or eventually some sort of intervention from Beijing.
We've not yet seen it, though. So after this latest series of events, is there any indication of what happens next?
No, and I mean, this is obviously the ongoing most important question is what China is going to do. I think there's different views out there, but perhaps one that makes the most sense is that perhaps Beijing is looking to the events of 2014 when they did just wait out the protests, those famous umbrella protests. Obviously, that was a different situation because those protests were peaceful, but in that instance, Beijing waited for 3 months or so, and then eventually the protests did subside, and then Beijing took much sterner measures in terms of starting to sort of walk back some of those freedoms that Hong Kongers have enjoyed for several years. The idea that they're potentially letting things escalate is also out there. You know, if they let things go on and things get really out of control, then they're going to be seen as perhaps having a better justification for coming in and intervening. But the huge, you know, massive international sort of PR risk, I mean, this would be considered something as a second Tiananmen if Beijing did actually really send in the military or something. So people just don't know. But these escalations in the last week don't necessarily spark any further sort of interaction from Beijing, but they're just a sign of this continued situation getting worse and worse.
What sort of numbers are we talking about here among the protesters? We know this is a diffuse movement. There are several different leaders and different approaches, but when it comes to the million or 2 million that we saw on the streets for a couple of the big weekend marches, are we talking anything like that? Is there a possibility that support for them will wane?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think that because the way that these protests have evolved in terms of what they're describing as sort of flash mob protests, where groups of protesters, relatively small and hard to track, will pop up in different parts of the cities and cause some sort of disruption or have some sort of clash with police. So what we know is going back a couple of months, those, as you said, those big mass protests were, you know, several millions of people, which is, you know, roughly a quarter of the city's whole population. But what has happened, I think, in the last couple of weeks as violence has escalated is that you are starting to see reports of divides amongst the different camps, and people are obviously pretty uncomfortable with violence. The city does have a reputation for being a relatively peaceful place. You know, it's a robust city that has a record of protests, but this is taking things into a whole new level, and so there is definitely a divide starting to emerge among protesters about how far they're willing to push things. At the same time, though, there are also many protesters who have been quoted by reporters saying that they're basically willing to go all the way for this movement, and they see this as their last chance because things have gone on so far.
What have the international seen here? We've had some gestures so far by other nations, particularly by the US lawmakers, suggesting support for the protesters. How symbolic or how significant is that?
Well, this week, on Tuesday this week, the House of Representatives actually passed this new act, which is called the Hong Kong Human Rights and Democracy Act, and which this would, among other things, potentially require the White House to run an annual review to see if Hong Kong should keep its preferential trade status with the US. So it has a different sort of trading status with than China. So it has a better system basically in place. There is a bit of skepticism among experts about what these changes or what changes would really come about from this move, especially, given that it has to still go through the Senate and eventually be enforced by the White House. But I think for the protesters themselves, any and all international attention is seen as important as, they're trying to continue to put public pressure on Beijing and keep this at sort of front and centre internationally. It did, of course, this act would also drew in a pretty stern response from Chinese officials. And so it shows that the US is, I guess, willing to risk some of that relationship with China as to really show support for Hong Kong. The other thing that's happening at the moment, though, is that at the same time as the people are showing support for Hong Kong, there is a broader shift underway in Washington, both in Congress and in the White House, in terms of pressuring the government in Beijing over a host of other human rights issues, and particularly those freedoms in Hong Kong, but also the repression of those millions of Uyghur Muslims in Xinjiang. And just last week, in fact, the US Commerce Department blacklisted about 28 Chinese technology companies from buying US-made goods. And that was in a bid to target companies and people who have had involvement in things like facial and voice recognition software and technology, and that those things that are being supplied to authorities in China as part of its sort of monitoring and incarceration of Muslims in Xinjiang. So taken together, I think there is international movement, basically in support of Hong Kong and Xinjiang and these issues that are extremely sensitive for China.
Our correspondent Ed White in Seoul.